Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, we've been talking the last few weeks. We started a series called Seven Steps to the Highest Kind of Faith a few weeks ago. And those are available on the website. And the first step, we said, now these aren't like we've said, this isn't like a course or anything. These are seven steps, you know, do these. These are more like a checklist to say, look, if you focus on these, if you do these things, if you have these working in your life, you're going to have faith as you should. The first one was to know the integrity of God's word. And we spent some time there. We have to know that this is the inspired word of God, that it's not just the word of men. We can't just treat it just like a book. We have to know that the Bible is God speaking to us. And it'll mean so much more to us. When we read the Bible and we realize what it says, it's saying to us, just as if Jesus himself, the living word, stood here and said it, if we'll take it like that, it will change the way we view it. It will change our lives, because when we have something in the Word, it won't be, well, I don't feel like that's true today. Okay? If God Almighty told us that it's true, if we read it in the Word and we take it just like He stood here and told us, then we can take it to the bank that it's true. We can take it to the bank that it will work just like He said it's going to work, that we can have what He said we can have, that we can be what He said we can be, regardless of how we feel about it, regardless of what our circumstances say. The second step that we started was know the reality of our redemption in Christ. To know the reality of our redemption in Christ, we talked about that. We're going to spend a little bit more time there tonight, I believe. To know the reality of our redemption in Christ, and we said that this you can't take our redemption in Christ as just a doctrine, as just a philosophy. Oh, we know that. We believe that. In our church, we believe we're redeemed. Hallelujah. Amen. And take it like that. We have to believe. We have to take it that it is a reality, that it is a done deal by the blood of Jesus, that we have been redeemed from the power of darkness, from the power of Satan, and that we've been redeemed and translated into the kingdom of light. Before we go further, let's read the scripture that we've read the last few weeks, Colossians 1:12. Colossians 1:12. Colossians 1:12. Everybody there? It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So verse 12, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We're going to talk about that verse in a moment. That He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, or translated us, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So we've been translated, we've been moved, we've been conveyed from the power of darkness. That means we were in the power of darkness. That means if you're not born again, if a person's not born again, they're in the power of darkness, whether they know it or not. It has nothing to do with, people get so confused, they think, well, I just don't believe in all that God stuff. It has nothing to do with if you believe it or not. It's real. Oh, I don't believe there's a devil. Okay. I can step out in the middle of the street and not believe that bus is coming towards me. It ain't going to change anything. If I step out in front of it, something's going to happen. Well, I don't believe it's going to hit me. Well, I don't believe there's a hell. Okay. It's not going to stop anything from happening when somebody dies. They're going to find out that there is a hell. And there is a devil. And there is an enemy. And his name is Satan. And if we're not born again, we're in his kingdom. But hallelujah, when we called on the name of Jesus, when we received his sacrifice and what he did through his blood, something happened and we were translated from the power of Satan, from the power of darkness, like it says, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so, and it says, in whom we have redemption. We have it. It's a reality. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So this is a fact. Before the foundation of the world, before all the demons know it, the devil himself knows it, but he's going to try to convince us, like we said, that it's not true. He's going to try to convince us that we aren't redeemed. He's going to try to convince us that we have not been translated. He's going to try to convince us that he, in fact, has authority over us, even though he knows he doesn't. But he's a liar, he's a thief, and he's going to try to lord it over us. We read in Revelation 12:11. Why don't you go ahead and turn there real quick. Revelation 12:11, last book in the Bible. I think most people know where Revelation is, even if they don't really read the Bible. Most people probably know. Just like they probably know where Genesis is, even if they don't even read the Bible. Yeah, it's that book with all the weird stuff in it, right? All the end of times that people say. Revelation 12:11. It says, everybody there? Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him. Who's him? Well, we could go back up a little further. Look at verse 9. It says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. You see that? He deceives the whole world. This is his main job description. He's a deceiver. He goes about deceiving. This is what he does. He's doing it today. Who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him. Who was him? It was that serpent of old, the devil and Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. And we talked about that a lot last week. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The primary thing is the blood of the Lamb. We can't. You could talk all you wanted. You could say, I have authority over you, Satan. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus to stand on, not going to mean a thing in the world. Our foundation is the fact that Jesus actually redeemed us. Now, if we are redeemed, now there's something we need to do, and that's take our authority and stand on the fact that God said we're redeemed. Because even though that we're redeemed, people can, by circumstance, and they can be convinced by the liar, the deceiver, that they're not redeemed and stay right in bondage, right in all kinds of a mess, even though God has already redeemed them out. You know, you could do this in the natural. You know, you could be actually delivered from something and not know it. You know, imagine you could, somebody could go and pay a bill off for you, and if you don't know it, you could keep making payments even though the thing's been taken care of because you think you have to. People get conned all the time into doing sending their money all kinds of places. People, you know, they'll send you text messages and emails and try to get you to say, you know, send your money here because you owe such and such, or we found a virus on your computer, you better go here. And what they really do is give you a virus. And they do all kinds of stuff like this to deceive you. But, you know, you could be, they people get conned into making payments that they don't owe. You know, you owe this amount of money and you're going to be turned into the IRS or the government if you don't pay us, and they are nobody, but they're lying. Well, that's what the devil does. He comes to people, even in Christians who've been redeemed, who've been translated in the kingdom of God, and the devil knows this, just like those cons know you don't owe them any money. But if they can convince you that you do, they get the money. The devil, he's a deceiver. So if he can convince you that you're not redeemed, even though you are, the net result is your life is like you're not. And so people say, well, I just don't understand why nothing's working for me. Well, are we taking our rights and privileges? That'd be like, well, I don't understand why that person got my money. I wrote him a check, and man, they weren't who they said they were, but I wrote him the check. I signed my name, or I gave him cash. People say, well, I just don't understand why God left me out. Who said he did? What did we just read? Did it say in Colossians, we read that he has translated us. He has conveyed us. So who are you going to believe? Who do you trust? You know, the devil come to you and say, oh, no, that didn't apply to you. You have not been redeemed. Look at you. Look at around you. Not true. You might as well just admit it. That's the problem. If we say, yeah, I haven't been redeemed. Yeah, I mean, I know what God's word says. I know that. But if you find yourself saying such a thing, I know what the word says, but that's a problem. Because that goes back to the first thing we talked about. If the word of God says it, that's it. Nothing that we see or feel trumps that. And so if we'll stay there and say, no, the word of God said I'm redeemed, all this stuff has got to change. Satan, you have no authority over me. This fallen world has no authority over me. Yes, I live in the world. Yes, I live with this natural world, but I know a higher power. I know a higher order, and God's word works for me. The Bible says I'm redeemed, and I'm redeemed. And we have to walk in that authority. Because Satan will try to lord it over us. He will try to have authority over us. He'll push us, and he'll try. Just like a con artist. Did you notice in Revelation, we read that he's a deceiver? Does the con artist have any right or any... He has no real grounds to try to get your money. But he'll do it anyway. Do you hear me? Yeah. He will. People say, well, why don't the devil just leave me alone? He's not going to leave anybody alone until you're dead. Then that's the only way you're going to get the devil to leave you alone. So even though it's wrong, even though he knows he's wrong, he's still going to try to sell you the goods. He's still going to knock at your door and say, what about now? You take it? You like this package? No, get out of here. He'll be back. Come back up. What do you think of this? How do you like this? He'll do that. And you can say, well, that's not fair, or I don't like that. That's not going to matter. We have to resist him. And we have to know our authority in Jesus. We have to know that we've been redeemed. Satan has no right to rule over us as Christians, as the body of Christ. He has no right, but he'll try. So, and some people say this. Brother Hagin said that he had people say this to him. They said, Brother Hagin, our spirits belong to the Lord, all right, but our bodies haven't been redeemed yet. So we'll just have to go right on suffering sickness and disease in this physical realm of life. The time is coming when we won't have to suffer with sickness and disease, but that time hasn't come yet. And people believe that. Well, yeah, okay. My spirit's redeemed, but, you know, my body, it just has to put up with this. That's not true. Could you turn over to 1 Corinthians 6 and read a scripture there? First Corinthians 6:19. Everybody there, 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's read that one more time before we go on. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." All you have to do is look at that first part. We'll get to the second part, but verse 19, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. Do you realize that? Do you read what I just read? Yeah. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question. God Almighty has all power. There is no sickness or disease in Him. You think there's sickness or disease in heaven? No, it does not come from God. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our spirits, you know, this is our earth suit. We walk around here. But God indwells us. Let me ask you a question. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You could go on this one verse. You really think, people talk about sickness and disease, that the temple of God is going to be all broken down, you know, all ready to fall apart, all run down, and that's the temple of God, and that's God's will, because, you know, we're not redeemed. Poor old God, the Spirit of Almighty God is in us. It just said that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, but He doesn't know. I mean, but we just have to put up with sickness and disease on this earth because, you know, that's just part of the curse. But you have God inside of you. How many of you know there's enough power to change anything in anybody if you know that the Spirit of God's inside of you? When Jesus walked the earth, was anointed without measure, did He go around making people sick? No, in His presence, people got healed. And then the disciples, they just walk down the street and the shadow would come by and people get healed. And there's nothing in the Bible that said this stopped. And we just read, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, what did God change? Is God still have all the power that He ever had? So, how is it that our bodies would be broken down and run down and that would be God's will? Or that, well, you know, God, yes, He redeemed our spirits, but, you know, even though He's indwelling in us and even though everything that He would have in His power would make things good, He just can't get it done. He could get it done 2,000 years ago, mind you, but and before that, you know, people getting raised from the dead, but that doesn't happen now. Why? Why? Why though? Where would somebody get that idea? Where in the Bible is that? Why did God change? The same God that you read in the Old Testament did miracles, I mean, people raised from the dead, people leprosy, gone. Jesus' ministry, the disciples' ministry, you see throughout history, you see testimonies today. But people get the idea, well, something happened and we just, you know, we're redeemed now. Seriously, I mean, even they're using scripture to say, well, we're redeemed in spirit, but not in body. Well, what, the disciples, what happened there? The people that wrote this New Testament, they didn't know this? I mean, they were just on the cusp that everything was about to go dead. They just didn't know it. Everything, the way they spread the gospel, it's good for them, but then, eh, wasn't good after that. We got the initial job done. Now God just said, oh, can't do anymore. So even though we're walking around in the temple, this is the temple of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, the mighty Holy Spirit, the one that hovered over the earth and creation, the powerful, the most powerful being in that, you know, he's in us, but our bodies, they just have to suffer with anything. That doesn't make any sense. That does not make any sense. That's not, poor old God just can't get the job done. Do you see, I mean, right there, if we didn't have another scripture, and we're going to go to more scripture, if we just didn't go any further, that does not make any sense. You have to be religiously brainwashed to believe that somehow God, that's God's will. Deceived, that's right. We've had help believing that. Somebody said, you have to have help to misunderstand that. Right? Because this is not hard. We could get some of the children from back there and bring them out here and explain this, and they would get it. But no, there's millions of people walking around. They bought the lie. And who sowed that seed? Who spread that lie? There's an enemy that wants us to believe that God just doesn't want us to be well. And that it passed anything, any number of lies. It passed away. It's not his will. It's really his will that he's teaching you something. Any number of things, just as long as you don't believe what the Bible says is true. Because he doesn't want Christians to walk in the light of the gospel and in the light of the word. He wants them to believe religion to keep them bound, to keep them tied up, to keep them powerless. Because how many of you know, if your body in the worst state, if you're bedfast, you're not going to be spreading the gospel. You're not going to be telling anybody anything. And people who think, then they'll say, well, I'm glorifying God. Right here it says, verse 20, you were bought at a price. Right there. You were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, so our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and they are God's. Now we're talking about our body is God's. If we've given it to him, we've been bought with the price, we yield it to him, they are God's. Does God just, he disregards his stuff and doesn't take care of it? No. Think about it. If you walk down the street, in some neighborhood and you looked over and there's some house there and there's weeds all over the lawn, the lawn's all overgrown, all the bushes haven't been trimmed forever, there's trash out in the yard, you know, the shutters are hanging off and it's not been painted, you would automatically think something. This person doesn't take care of their stuff. They're disregarding their property, right? We know from the character of God, he's not one of those persons, if you'd say. That's not his character. If our body is his, and some people will say, well, he puts sickness and disease on it. Really? So then I would just, with my house, just knock out a window just, you know, because I want to, I'm teaching somebody something or whatever, so I'm going to beat up my property. If you put it like that, it does, again, not make any sense what religion will tell us and try to get us to swallow. Yeah, I just, you know, I'm glorifying God in my body. How? I can't even walk. I can't use my eyes or my ears, but I'm glorifying God. What? People are saying, well, I'm just in the middle of it. I'm just going to give glory. Give glory in your body, it said. You walk by, you see a child that's deformed and can't function normally. How many of you think that's glorifying God? That is hideous. That's a twisted. That's the devil. That's the curse in the world. That's his work. That's not God. God made all things good. And then the enemy got a hold of it, and stuff has gone downhill from there. And we live in a curse-filled world, but the good news is we're redeemed from it. We're redeemed from sickness and disease. It's part of our inheritance. And we read back in Colossians 1:12. I'll just read it to you. You heard it several times. But Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's qualified for us to be partakers of our inheritance. Healing is part of our inheritance. Did you hear me? Healing's part of our inheritance that we've been qualified to be partakers of. As children of God, we are qualified to walk in healing. That's part of our inheritance. It was purchased for us. Healing is revealed to us in God's Word. The Bible tells us that we have dominion and authority over the devil through the blood of Jesus, which includes sickness and disease. Now just turn to a couple scriptures, John 10:10. John 10:10. Thank you, Lord. John 10:10, everybody there? It says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. I want to ask you a question. If you have life, Jesus said that he came so that we would have life. The life of God is called Zoe. That Greek word is Zoe. That life of God, he came to give us life. You can just say that. He came to give us life, not death. Sickness is death. It's a form of death. Your cells die, your cells don't work the way they're supposed to, your body doesn't work. In its end, sickness is death. Sickness ends in death. But Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly. Now, can you see this? We said our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You getting a picture of this? Yeah. Jesus came to give us life. God is life. He is light. He is in us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, of God. So that life is emanating from him in us, in our body. He came to give us life and that more abundantly. That's just a picture of fullness of life. Do you see this, just completely decrepit, can't walk, bowed down with sickness and disease, ready to die? Does this look like the picture of life? When you think of sickness and disease, you can think of pictures you may have seen in books or on the internet or you know, diseases. Does that look like life to you? No, it looks like death. Some people even say it. You look like the picture of death. Or wow, you look alive. You look vibrant. What does that mean? That does not mean you look bad. Somebody says, wow, you're full of life today. You look alive. That doesn't mean you look sickly. But Jesus came to give us life. Why don't you turn over to Romans? Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans 8:11. Praise God. Romans 8:11. It says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The Spirit of Him. That's the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Sound like the temple of the Holy Spirit? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. He'll give life to your bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This goes right along with everything we've been talking about. If His Spirit dwells in us, His Spirit is life. His Spirit is going to give us life into this natural realm. He can't do anything but that. Just like a power source, power plant in you, you draw strength from that because this whole, what animates a body? What animates life? How did life come to be? It was created. I don't care what anybody says. It was created. God breathed life into Adam. That was, the spirit realm existed before the natural realm. And God gave life to the natural body. Well, He's still doing it. And if we'll draw from that strength and that Spirit, Almighty God on the inside of us, we'll draw from that strength, that quickens or gives life to our bodies. Again, that is not the picture of death. You can't believe that God dwells in you, that His Spirit's in you, that His Spirit gives life, that He came to give us life, and that more abundantly, and say, but I'm just so sick, and I can't see it any other way. That's a lie. That's letting the devil, the enemy, that's believing his lie, that's then giving him authority and say, I don't care what the Bible says, I still believe that, and that gives him ascendancy in our life. That's where we have to resist and say, look, I don't care what it looks like. This body is drawing life from the Almighty, from His Spirit who's in me. Just to say that to yourself will quicken. I mean, it'll perk you up that His Spirit dwells in me. You say that to yourself in the morning. His Spirit is in me. He came to give me life. I have life today. When you wake up and you didn't get so much sleep, what you don't need to say is, oh my goodness, I feel so horrible. Oh, I just don't even want to get up. Oh, I'm so tired. That's not going to help. That'll make you just want to say, put the covers right over your head and turn over, which doesn't help anything because then it makes you late. Then you have to go be running around and get everybody all uptight, and then you're late in traffic and everything. No, if we'll wake up, and even though we feel, I remember one lady, we were in the Philippines when we were on a missions trip. I forget her name. I think it starts with a D, though. But she was one of the, I mean, it was a tough schedule. You know, we flew over there and flew through Minnesota, then to Tokyo, and then to Manila, and then we took a boat and all the stuff, and then you're up, and you're all messed up, of course, time zone-wise and everything after. And then you've been going for a while. I mean, it can just wear on your body anyway. But she woke up in the morning, and she told us about it. She was waking up. She said, God, His Spirit quickens my mortal body. Body, you line up. And she was hurting. But she got up and started speaking to her body. And she got out of bed, and she was okay. But no, when we get up, we need to be like, the Spirit of God dwells in me. I am strong, and the life of God is in me. He is quickening my body. My body is strong. Was it in Joel? Where does it say that? Let the weak say, I'm strong. It's not in Joel. Where is it? I don't remember. I have the scripture sheet, but I can't remember where it is. That I am strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. If we'll start say, I am strong, when we feel weak, we are agreeing with the Lord. We're agreeing with Him and drawing on that strength. Praise God. Well, it's 8 o'clock. Hallelujah. So we're going to stop there. We could go a little bit further there, but I think we'll pick it up probably next time. But just remember that. Just draw from the life of God. Just draw from the life of God and believe that, and don't believe the package that Satan would try to sell us. Amen.